So, here we are, a week after Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, and we heard all about God's defeat of sin and death through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. But I'd like to look at one group of people we didn't talk about last week, and some of those people in Jesus' time, and they were what they were doing, and that was scoffing and mocking him at his first coming as a lamb, because the first time he came as a lamb, and the same thing goes along nowadays as we do it for his second coming when he's going to come as the conquering King of Glory. These people that were doing these things were both Jews and Gentiles. They were religious leaders, common folk, just about, it didn't matter what walk of life or who you were. And out of their mouths came mocking and ridicule of Jesus' claim as God's Son, being fully God and fully man. And in Matthew, we read Matthew 27, we read of a few of these accounts. It has them both in the same chapter. So we read that the soldiers were doing this very thing, and we'll read about that on Matthew 27, verses 29 to 31. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him to be crucified. And then a little later, when he was being crucified, the chief priests and other teachers of the law and just your average passersby did the same thing. In 27, a little further on, at 37 to 43. I read there now. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Sometimes I think, if I lived at Jesus' time, would I have picked up a rock and tried to stone Jesus when they tried that kind of thing? Would I have been in the crowd calling for Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus? And would I have stood at the base of the cross like these people did and called for Jesus to save himself if he was who he said he was? Well, I can't answer that, but I certainly hope not. In the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, so we'll go there, to warn the people of Israel not to mock or scoff at God's prophecies when he gave them through the prophets. God was very clear in this, what I'm about to read here. He was very clear that what he said was going to happen, and it was going to happen when he said it would. So we'll go to Ezekiel 12, and then we'll read from 21 to 28. This is God talking to Ezekiel here. This was his message for Israel. "The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man. What is this proverb you have in the land of Israel?" And the proverb reads, The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am going to put an end to this proverb, and they will no longer quote it in Israel. Say to them, the days are near when every vision will be fulfilled, for there will be no more false visions or flattering divinations among the people of Israel. But I, the Lord, will speak what I will, and it shall be fulfilled without delay. For in your days, you rebellious house, I will fulfill whatever I say, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, the house of Israel is saying, the vision he sees is for many years from now. And he prophesies about the distant future. Therefore say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. None of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the Sovereign Lord. So that's pretty clear what he says he's going to do. Israel didn't believe God would send them a savior then, which was about 590 years before Christ's birth. And they definitely weren't considering the second coming of Christ. God wanted nothing more for them than to live holy, godly lives in eager anticipation of his word and the fulfillment of that word. Now let's fast forward to 2021. Am I or are we doing the very same thing now in regards to the second coming of Christ? Are we passing the second coming off as a far in the distance event? If we are, I think we are wrong for doing so. Let's see what Peter has to say about this very thing. He spoke about that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go there. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's a little on the longer side, but I didn't know where to cut him off. So it's all good. So he starts in 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by the Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction for ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with us, or with you, sorry. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt by heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote, with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letter contains things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So, after reading that, my only conclusion is, let's not scoff at the thought of Christ's return. It should make us glad that the end and the judgment of evil is coming with that. Because we read that God's patience only means that more people have time to come to his salvation. His promises will come true in due time, and evil will be judged. We already know this. We already know his return is 2,000 years closer than it was. So let us be at peace with God in our salvation and be found waiting for him and his glorious return in Jesus Christ. Amen.